Welcome to Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, the mobile game. I'm your host, as always, Edinar, and I'm joined by one co-host today. I'm joined tonight by Dave. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I am good. Coleman's picture is great. I'm really happy about the choice.
You mean Coleman as a... All right, so Coleman is not here tonight. He is actually working. Many of us know that he works in Hawaii for the military, and he is, and I quote, going to save lava people. So he is dealing with all that fun stuff down in Hawaii. So in accordance with what we have done previously with Dave, Coleman is now the dead Ewok. I was gonna go Jar Jar, and then Dave had the brilliant idea. Let's go with the dead Ewok, and you know what? It just makes perfect sense.
I love it.
So yeah, there's a lot to talk about because we missed last week because of the holiday.
Yeah.
So I did a quick little mini episode to get people up to date on the new stuff that came in.
Ooh, and boy, was it a week.
It was an interesting week. I went over the normal stuff. I saved the two, well, at the time, just the one new character. We now have a second new character. But before we dive into the new characters, I want to get your thoughts on the changes that have that did come through. So the new chat, the new all the cluster bomb, the makeup shotgun, as you may say, of UI stuff that they threw at us, and then of course the shit's 2-point crap. What are your thoughts on it?
I think a lot of the quality of life stuff. I mean, I like being able to find a piece of gear you need, like anywhere that it's available, mm-hmm. and just buy it under the search is awesome. I've been using that a lot now that you have like so much currency in all the stores. That's really convenient. I did, you know, being able to just kind of join a raid and not have to worry about, or I guess you still have to take zeros. You don't have to anymore.
You do not.
Right? Yeah.
You just have to click join.
So just being able to join is like great. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, the whole Zeta thing was weird at first, but that's good too. I mean, most of these changes they made from a quality of life perspective have all been really smart. The chats are fine. Quests, I haven't really dug a lot into them yet. I mean, some of them certainly seem like super extensive. The rewards for the low level stuff like really isn't that great. And some of it's just super time consuming, but I'm sure like on a rainy day at some point I'll really dig into that. But I mean, that's like easy stuff for them to add, like just give people more stuff to work towards on the side. So I thought that that was smart, even if some of them, you know, don't seem all that like super interesting. They can evolve that over time, and I think that ultimately quests probably will be fine. But yeah, I know that the big thing really for everybody was ships, and I think I've been honest about saying this before. Anyone that listens, I am not your ship guy. I never have been your ship guy. I never will be. I've always loved the main part of the game the most, getting into squad building and theory crafting teams. And the main part of the game has always been what I've been most passionate about when it came to Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. Ships, I've never really cared about except from like the first week or two when they were out. And the ship update really hasn't done anything to change that. I think what I'm kind of doing personally is just letting the dust settle. Like, I haven't really done anything. I use Tarkin still, so I just upgraded Tarkin a little bit. But for the most part, I haven't touched any of the other characters yet. I'm kind of letting the dust settle. I haven't fallen at all in Arena. Like, I was only in, like, the low hundreds anyway, like 120s, 130s every day because I barely do battles. So I haven't, like, fallen further than that. And I'm just letting the dust settle, figuring out the best teams, and then I'll just copycat somebody and I'll just auto my battles every day like I currently do. I think the big miss, and I think we'd all agree, is that they didn't add new ships. And I thought that that was a huge miss. I think we kind of expected them to add a couple, and they didn't. And I know that they'll come, inevitably. But to roll out a huge update like this, but then it kind of just be like, hey, but it's just for the current ships you have, and you know, haha, like, just seemed like it lacked the punch that it probably needed to really reinvigorate, I think, a part of the game that just a lot of people don't care about. So that's kind of where I'm at. I haven't, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot more to dig into, but the problem is, like, there's a lot there, right? I mean, there's a lot of meat to this game. This game is not an easy game to get into necessarily. There's a lot of depth to it, realistically, when you really think about how many characters there are and how many moves and how they can synergize together. And, like, who, I don't love ships. I don't find it that interesting. So to spend the time to, like, figure it all out, I just don't know if I'm ever going to want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, so. I think you nailed it right on the head with the ships. Like, they didn't introduce any new ships. So, essentially, they didn't change anything with ships. Essentially, like, you still have, you're still going to have the same best three ships instead of best five ships. Yeah, everyone's going to still be running the same team. So, by not introducing new ships, you just introduce new abilities, but everyone still has those same abilities. I think the other thing that they missed on was the new material. The new, quote-unquote, the Zeta 4 ships. That is super hard to get. But when you have a game mode that people is probably... the majority of people are not interested in ships. Or have kind of the same mentality me and you do. And then you have a Zeta that's hard to get. You're just like, well, that makes me not want to do ships even more. Like... why do I want to spend all this time farming a mat for a game mode that I don't like? And, like, so I think that was kind of a miss right there. They could have upped the places you could get it. I think I got one. That's because I happened to be farming Barice Ophi during the double drops. So, like, I was farming the hell out of her. So, because I don't have her at 7 stars yet, and I suck. I did do something from the last episode. I took Rex from gear 1 to gear 12.
So, always a good character to have at gear 12.
Oh god,
always
it was so easy. It was so easy.
I know.
I want everyone to be that easy.
No, yeah, his gear is a joke for as good as he is. Still, pound for pound, best character this game has seen, just when you think about, like, how much he's continued to be useful and, like, how easy his gear is, outside the fact that he was originally, like, pay to play, which he's still the only character I really paid to buy, and I'm totally happy with that decision. The ships thing, it's weird, too, because, like, we've put so much time into this game, played this game for so long, still put a lot of time into this game, even if I'm maybe not putting as much as, say, I maybe used to. And it's just, you know, I just feel like they not really dropped the ball, because they did a lot of updates to it. Like, I don't want to make it sound like they didn't do some cool stuff. Like, certainly some of the reinforcement abilities are pretty cool, but, like, I don't think it did anything to reinvigorate those that don't care about ships. And this was really their opportunity to do it, right? The people that were already participating in ships are just going to maybe those are the ones that like it. And those are the ones that are figuring out the right starting three and who to bring in reinforcements and, like, what that order should be. And, like, that's great. And, well, you know, people that don't care as much will copycat off them just to make sure that they can stay afloat in arena, just so you can continue to get a decent amount of points or credits and stuff every day. And that's fine. But you really had an opportunity to, like, bring everybody back into ships, maybe bring in a new faction, maybe bring in a new capital ship, maybe make some of them really easy to farm so that people could get them quickly, so they could change up the fleet, so they could shift the arena meta a little bit and just have some newness to it. Because, like, let's be honest, ship's arena has been stale for, I don't know, from like
after the first week.
Yeah, like a month after the first, once everybody realized that, like, Tarkin was the way to go, and then once Chimera came out and everyone went to that, like, or Chimera, like, once that came out and everybody went to that, like, Arena's been the same thing, right? And some people prefer Tarkin, and some people prefer Thrawn, and, like, that's been Arena. And, you know, it's everybody using pretty much the same starting five, or mostly the same starting five. Biggs is never going away, like, all that stuff. They had an opportunity to, like, shift it up a little bit, and they didn't, and that kind of sucks, because I think that was the thing that would be most important. Like, Arena has always kind of driven this game, right? Mm-hmm. In a way, it's always really kind of driven this game, and it should be the thing that should always be the healthiest, and it seems to rarely be the thing they're most concerned about being healthy. And, like, that's what, like, kind of bothers me. Because, like, it was a really cool opportunity that, I guess, you know, new ships are coming, I'm sure. But I really wish they had come with the update because it would have made it feel a lot cooler than it, and then it ultimately felt for me.
Yeah, I mean, you can dress up, you can put as much glitter and stuff on a pile of shit, but at the end of the day, it's still kind of a pile of shit with glitter on it. And, I mean, not to call, like, ships a pile of shit, but it's one of those things where you can dress anything up the way you want, you can change it around, but when it comes down to it, it's the same thing. If you don't add new things, it's all going to be the same exact thing, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, try and go into Ship Arena right now and find a team not using, you know, Biggs, and then the first enforcement is not Boba Fett. Like,
yeah,
like that's like mandatory. And then generally every team is running TIE Fighter pilot and Vader ship. Like that's your starting three. And then the first ship that comes in is Boba. That's me. Like, and then I don't even know
what I'm doing, and I've managed to somehow do that correctly.
Yeah, like, and I looked at the top like 20 in my arena shard, and all of them running the exact same teams. Like, it's just, I don't know. They need to, I think it all just boils down to give us more goddamn ships. That's all I want. Yeah. Like,
yeah, they really, yeah. I mean, it's that simple. They need about like 10 new ships. Like realistically, you know, a full, what you need is like a full team that shifts the meta, or like I'd say maybe like one or two new ones per faction, and then like a whole new faction or just a redone rebuild faction that allows you, whether it would be like actually having resistance ships or actually having First Order full team or whatever it is, like just that gives you flexibility to run it. But you can't, it can't be like, all right, but this is a 6 month farm to have that team. Like, some of them should be relatively easier, quicker. Maybe put some in the stores that make it a little bit simpler for people to get it. Like, you know, kind of
like the Night Sisters.
Make them all.
Like the Night Sisters. Certain Night Sisters are super easy to farm, but then you have that Tulsan and Zombie, who are
right. Totally makes sense. Make one of them hard to get, the one that holds it all together, or even if it's just like, I'm assuming that, you know, capital ships will be difficult, right? Because just by the nature of how you, get their shards right in like events that don't show up all the time, they take a long time regardless. Mm-hmm. So like that's fine, but like it's just the diversity isn't there, and they really miss an opportunity. But you know, whatever.
Now,
what are you gonna do?
One other thing before we get into the new characters, I want to bring up, and it's something that I've brought up before, and it's bothering me more and more now, and that is the Thrawn turn meter. Now, what I mean about this is, so when I used Thrawn's ability, I forgot even the name of the ability. It's the one where he swaps turn meter.
Something maneuver, isn't it?
Yeah, Grand Admiral's Command. So command, you swap turn meter with target other ally. And nobody's been able to give me a legit reason behind it. When you swap, now, if Thrawn is actually, like, on deck, that means he has the most 100% turn meter. If people are tied and Thrawn's on deck, Thrawn's up, he has the most. If you swap turn meter with someone, why does that person not go first? Now, I get it.
Well, it depends.
You're going up against a Pelt team and you remove beat buffs, then, yes, that can skew it. But, like, for instance, the other day, I was going up against a Rex team. Mm-hmm. And I swapped to Palpatine. He had three guys go before my Palpatine went. Now, in theory, if you have 100% turn meter and you're the person going, and you swap your turn meter with another turn meter, you should go next. Barring, like I said, a Palpatine lead where you dispel debuffs and stuff like that. But you should go, and that's not the case. So you're swapping 100% turn meter, and then you're not getting 100% turn meter.
Weren't they trying to fix this?
I don't know, honestly. And it's very annoying because, like against Rex
I thought I remember reading that they were trying to fix this. Yeah, it's just because it's randomized when everyone's when everyone gets to 100%.
But then it's not swapping 100% turn meter. You're swapping a random turn meter at that point. Like you're throwing your turn back into the pool of everyone who has 100% turn meter. When in
Yeah, I mean,
reality you
yeah,
have
it was
you're the
meant.
person going.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's obviously not working as intended, right? I mean, that move is made so that you can tell what character you can basically make any character go immediately. So with the turn meter swap thing, like the real way they probably should have done it is not swap turn meter. Maybe it would have circumnavigated the stupid 100% turn meter, multiple characters at the same time disaster that gets created. But they should have just had like selected character immediately goes and Thrawn inherits their turn meter or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, so that character would just go immediately, and then Thrawn would take almost like take their turn meter, and then like, and that like it would almost be like, Thrawn's turn meter is reduced to zero. That character immediately goes. Thrawn gains the reduced turn meter from the ally. Like, it would be a weird way to code it, but like technically, I guess that would get around the stupid, like everybody's at 100%. Who the hell goes first? Let's flip a coin thing that currently exists. I do think they were trying to fix that, but I think what's unfortunate is because of like so much turn meter manipulation in the game and how important turn meter manipulation kind of remains to be in the game. Although there's a character we're going to talk about shortly that might slowly remove your desire to ever want to take turn meter from anybody again. Like, because it's so important, it's inevitable that you're going to have multiple characters, whether it's through something like, the Palp's leader, or whether through it's something like Rex's leader, where multiple characters hit 100% at the same time, and they've never really handled that all that well. And if you have a very particular turn order that you want, it fucks with it, and that kind of sucks. But I think it drives everybody crazy. You're not alone in that.
No,
I
I
think,
know I get a lot of people who actually agree with me. And I guess I just want a legit, like if there's like a legit answer to it, let
that
me
is the
know.
reason, though, because
Yeah,
it's all randomized.
it's all
Yeah, that's why it
randomized.
does it.
But if there's a reason that it's not, I guess when you have this ability that you use it and it's then a randomized ability, essentially, like you're swapping turn meter, but it's a randomized ability because you're randomizing who's gonna go next of the people who have full turn meter.
It's because they built the turn wrong. They should have built it the way I just described. They built it that way, then he would automatically go first. The person that you selected would go next, and it wouldn't be an issue. But because it kind of gets thrown into this like turn meter bowl, it gets all confused. And that's just how the game's always.
I guess I just want some, not either even like a fix, but more clarification, like from CG being like, no, this is exactly how we want it to work. This is why we implemented it, so on and so forth. Something. Quick post. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, I think they're trying to fix it. I swear I read somewhere that they're trying to fix it. I have to go back and look.
It's one of those trademarked soon things.
Yeah.
Like,
Oh,
we're working on it
yeah.
soon. But let's get into these two new characters that we have two new names for me to absolutely butcher. Side note, I also do a Overwatch podcast, and there's a character in that game that I cannot get the name pronounced correctly whatsoever, and it's a running joke on that podcast too. So I feel I have some speech problems. So
Maybe,
the
maybe.
Zeta, so far I've screwed up
That is that.
Zeta, Chimera,
Chimera. There's been a lot of them. There was some random word you said one time that was the best, and I can't remember what it is now.
what was it? The Overwatch character, her name is Brigitte. Or Brigitte, or I just call her now Baguette.
Baguette, that's good.
Baguette,
Yeah,
that's what
she's
I'm
a new
going with.
character. She wasn't like an original character, right?
No. She just came to the
Yeah,
game.
okay.
But so, like, I
Okay.
just call her Baguette on the show, and I'm like, haha, I'm gonna stick with this and say a funny name because I can't pronounce the real one. And
Right.
that is what's gonna happen with these two new characters. So, both of these characters are from the new Solo movie, which I have not seen. You
Nor have
have
I.
not
So you
seen.
do not need to worry about spoilers. Spoiler free. I probably won't see it. I probably won't say it until I'm off the first week of July. Literally, that'll probably be when I finally get to go see it. So
yeah, it's when I find time. I think my girlfriend's going to Mexico for like 10 days in like a week. I'll probably go when she's in Mexico.
Yeah, that's a good time to go.
Yeah, because she's not a let's go see a Star Wars movie together type of person. So
right.
But so we'll go over the first one, and this is the one played by the character played by Emilia Clarkson. Emilia, what's her name from Game of Thrones?
I don't watch Game of Thrones. She's the dragon girl, though, right?
Wait, you don't watch Game of
Thrones? No, God, no, no.
Why?
No way.
It is
what? No.
It is
no.
The best show I've ever seen.
No, that's not my thing. Not my jam, man. I tried. I did. I got halfway through season one, and I'm like, nope, I peaced. All right. I do not begrudge people that watch it. I can totally see the allure. I understand it's a wonderfully written and acted show. Production value is fantastic. I get all that. Have zero interest in watching it. Absolutely zero interest in watching it.
Fair enough. All right, so we have Kira. I think that's how you pronounce it. Kira?
Kira, yeah.
Kira?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First off, not the best animation on a facial character of all time. Kind of looks like a guy.
A little bit. It's not great.
It's not, they don't excel at it. But, whatever. She is a, let's see, scoundrel support character. So, and she's a scoundrel. She has a leadership ability, if I'm not mistaken. So, let's go through this. Her abilities. Her basic is deadly doubled. So, deal physical damage to target enemy twice and inflict offense down for two turns. This attack can't be countered. If this attack scores a critical hit, also daze them for one turn. And if both hits are critical, deal bonus damage equal to 10% of the target's max health.
Yep.
Pretty good basic. I mean, it hits like a wet noodle.
Yeah.
It only does like 20. Nice. Yeah, it's the daze on a basic that is nice.
And you can't counter it.
Yeah, you can't counter it. But here's the thing, and we'll cover this with the next character. Don't introduce two characters at the same time with the same big ability on each basic. So like daze is the big draw here. Like everything else, if you took out daze, this is a decent basic. The daze is what really makes it special.
Well, I mean, in fairness though, daze is it shuts down the current arena teams. So like that is part of the reason why, right? I mean, they're trying to build. There's a fifth character coming that maybe makes this team viable. I don't, it's not currently as constructed. One character we're going to talk about in a second is overly viable in arena. But the team as constructed, if you were to throw the four together, right, is not arena viable at the moment. What is this? Oh, no. I thought my computer was about to shut down, but it's not. Okay. So it's not currently. That would have been bad. It's not. It's just telling me it's going to do it tomorrow. They're not currently viable, but I see where days would be important. That's the only thing. Like I was kind of comfortable with it because I think, you know, whether it's a Rex team or whether it's certainly a Pal team or, you know, days is going to be super, super important to shutting them down.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, yeah. Or Wampa.
Gotta shut that Wampa down. Well, the thing is I'll just say this with the next character. Shutting down. I mean, you have a new Wampa, a better Wampa. No.
Oh, but you do not want to daze her. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So, all right, let's continue with Kira. All right. Yep. Her first special is Scattering Blast. It is a final text reads, dispel all buffs on target enemy, then deal physical damage to all enemies and stagger them for two turns. This attack deals 25% more damage per buffed enemy. And then if she's prepared, dispel all enemies, and Kira is no longer prepared.
Yeah.
So it's good. You know, it can be if they're prepared, have a mass dispel, which is
Yes.
nice. And it gives all enemies stagger. So
Yep, which is good.
it's a good special. It's not game breaking, it's not out of this world, but it's a good one. I like it. And then we'll go to her next special, which is Joint Operation. This is a cooldown of 4. Final text, deal physical damage to target enemy and call another target ally to assist. If that ally is a scoundrel, both attacks deal 30% more damage. Each attack has a 50% chance to expose the target for 2 turns, even if the target evades. And then prepared, grant all other prepared allies defense penetration up for 3 turns and call them to assist. And Kira is no longer prepared. So,
Full team assist could be nice.
yeah, this could be a very nice ability.
Oh, big
Very
time. It's
nice.
like that's a one-shotter type ability, potentially, knowing how hard Han hits.
And
And
with an
especially,
other new character, if they're built
yeah,
up.
if Nest is ready to strike, oh yeah, it's bad. If this and there will be a fifth character that we don't know who it is yet, I'm assuming, who may or may not do good damage too, and probably won't be, but probably will be another support character, I guess, right? Because Han and Nest are the two attackers, and Chewie was a tank.
Yeah, it could be
So
another
yeah,
tank. I
could be
mean, it
another
could be
tank,
another
support
tank,
character,
but
but yeah. So I mean, this could be a really good move, and I kind of like how, like, now that we've gotten a little bit more familiar with prepared, how it like it's kind of cool, right? Because different moves use it in different ways, so you got to be really smart about like which one you want to use, kind of the pumped up move. I think that's like it adds another element to like really planning out your move set and attack, which I think is a cool little thing now that we've gotten used to it.
They
Like
kind of it's
prepared's cooler than I thought it was when we first, kind of got introduced to it with Chewie and Han.
Well, it's a different version of almost bounty hunters, the bounties that they have. It's like you have to specifically choose which one to use, when to hit it, when to use it, and like stuff like that. Like it's different overall, but it's got like the same mechanics of it. You just have to be more strategic in game, and I think that is to prevent a lot of autos. Like these are anti-auto abilities.
Yeah. If you want your team to do a certain thing, you're gonna have to control it manually. Sure.
Exactly. So, all
Yeah.
right, and then let's get to her leader ability. So, her final text does read, Scoundrel allies have plus 20% crit chance. In addition, whenever they score a critical hit, they recover 10% protection and gain an additional bonus based on the roll for the rest of the battle. And that means attacker gets plus 10% offense, max 3 stacks. Tanks get plus 20% crit avoidance, stacking 3 times, at max 3 times. And support or healers get plus 20 speed, stacking max 3 stacks. I mean, yeah. I mean, the 30% offense for characters like Han and, Nest
Legit.
is going to be huge. I mean, critical
Yeah.
avoidance on a tank is all fine and dandy. I don't think that's that big of a deal with the new characters because they don't really have like a auto taunter.
Not yet,
They're not
at
yet.
least.
Like the
Yeah.
so like if they had like an auto taunter, that would be a
Yeah.
bigger deal, I think. And then plus 20 speed to support healers. I mean, it's plus 20 speed. Max of plus 60 speed. Yeah, you can't go wrong with plus 60 speed
Yeah, no,
stacking.
it's a good, it's an interesting leader ability. I mean, I think the protection gains, certainly a lot. I mean, 10% is a significant amount, considering there's a bunch of moves that people can double tap and or full team assists. Like, it actually, it's a pretty good, and like, plus anyone that has an AoE that crits it, like, you could get half your protection back if you crit all your if you crit the full AoE. I mean,
And I mean,
that's it.
Nest. Like, and we'll get to Nest. And we keep referring to Nest, and that is the broken character. But, like, okay, every time they get hit, Nest essentially counters. And every time, and Nest is built to crit. Like, just built to crit. So Ness is going to be gaining back protection even more than the crazy amount of protection she already gets back. So like the plus 30% offense, plus, all that. So it's kind of, she has a great leadership ability for the team that's out there. And I still think we're going to get one to two more characters because, I mean, how do we not have, the new Lando? Like, I just, that's the
I would be
character
willing
that's
to bet.
going to, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna get new Lando, and new Lando is gonna be good. I have no doubt in my mind. New Lando. All these characters have actually been pretty good. I mean,
Yeah.
they've been interesting.
I really
Sucks that we
like
won't have them for a while, but I like this team. Like, that's what sucks is like I'd really like to play with this team. It seems like it's a lot of fun. It's not as much fun to play with them at 3 stars, level 53, gear 7.
Yeah.
Not as much fun.
Like I think I really like all right. Well, we'll go over what we think of her. We
Yeah,
still have a
let's
unique.
do her unique,
So
yeah.
her unique is insult to injury. Great name to an ability. Final text reads, while attacking, Kira has plus 40% potency if her target isn't debuffed, and plus 30% crit damage if it is. Other scoundrel allies gain half these benefits while attacking. In addition, at the end of each turn, if any single enemy suffered more than one critical hit this turn, Kira gains preparation, 15% turn meter, and health steal up for one turn. Each other ally that used an ability this turn also gains health steal up for one turn. So this team is built on counters and calling in others to assist and stuff like that. And this unique just adds to it. Just makes the rest of the team that much better.
Yeah, she's a good character.
Yeah,
She's a good character.
she's a good character, but the reason you're not seeing her or not seeing people like, go full whale on her is because she needs her full scoundrel team around her. Like
Yes.
she's not good without her full scoundrel team.
Oh,
And
yeah.
like she's one of those, okay, if you're gonna whale out on this other character and then wait for her to become free to play.
Agreed. Agreed. Let's go through the next character and then we'll talk about them
Okay. Let's go
both. I think that's
through.
better because then we can talk about them together without referring to this character.
Okay, set this
Without like not
character. All right, so
referring.
this other new character. All right, you looked up how to actually pronounce the name. How did you pronounce it?
Enfys.
Enfys
Enfys Nest.
Nest. All right, so Enfys Nest, a scoundrel attacker. She looks badass, but has like Skechers shoes on, which is very weird to me. If you look at her. It's very weird. But let's go through her kit. Her basic, cut through. Final basic reading says, deal physical damage to target enemy and expose them for one turn. If the target had any defense buffs, dispel them. This attack can't be evaded. Okay. And all those attacks can't be evaded. That includes defensive buffs, include defense, health, protection, evasion and tenacity up, as well as taunt, stealth, foresight, heal, overtime, and crit immunity. So you have just the basic alone. You're just like, without knowing the rest of her kit, the basic alone is kind of okay, it's decent, but when you see the rest of her kit, you realize how crazy powerful it is.
Well, we should have known that the character would be great just simply based on the fact if you read the basic and having it be a basic dispel, right? You can dispel on a basic. The history of this game with characters with dispel on basic has typically meant that character will be now sitting in the meta for like a year. Because that's what you look at like Sun Fok and Nihilus and those types of characters that like never left the meta because they were that good. That's like even now, obviously reoccurring taunt type characters has helped make this not as overpowering as it once was, but still a basic dispel is still like a ridiculous mechanic that I kind of am always constantly upset even exists, but it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, her first special, Sudden Impact, cooldown with three. Final text reads, deal physical damage to target enemy, stun them for one turn. and inflict buff immunity for 3 turns. If the target had any protection, this attack deals 50% more damage. That's a pretty decent opening attack. So, like, essentially, if you use this against a character that does not have that does have armor, you're doing minimum 10k. That's without crit. This is a 10k special to a character, and that's also not taking into account it ignores armor or if it crits. So like, that is a heavy hitting special. especially one that also stuns and gives buff immunity.
Yeah.
Like, overall, just great ability. Let's go to the next one. Kinetite Charge is her next special. And it reads, deal physical damage to all enemies. Daze them for 2 turns. Remove 20% turn meter from each enemy that had full health. And gain 40% turn meter for each enemy with less than full health. This attack can't be countered or evaded. So, yeah. Mass daze. A mass turn meter reduction. Plus, and if they, it's either a mass turn meter reduction or mass turn meter gain for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, you could really even do it so if in certain situations, you could reduce the 20% turn meter from 3 allies and gain 80% turn meter for yourself. If 2 of the characters don't have full health, the other 3 do. Because it's plus 4, it's 40% turn meter for each enemy with less than full health. So you could be taking away 60, gaining 80. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And to not be able to be countered or evaded is huge. So this is one of the best specials in the game.
It's a good special. Yeah. But speaking about one of the best things in the game, her unique might be the best one now in the game.
Her unique is fucking insane.
It's the best unique. It is literally, I mean, here's the thing, right? I know we like hyperbole on this show. We like hyperbole in life.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at the initial returns of this character and the way that she's been used, this unique, you could argue, is the best in the game. You could argue.
Very easily.
For one character, not something that like impacts other characters or whatever. But for just the use of this unique on her, it might be the best in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It really, anyway.
So, her awesome unique is Nest has plus 80% counter chance and ignores taunt during her turn. Whenever Nest is damaged by attack, she gains plus 30% crit chance and 40% bonus protection. Stacking, this bonus protection increases by an additional 40% each time. Both bonuses expire and reset at the end of her next turn. Whenever an enemy loses a buff or a debuff, Nest gains plus 2% crit damage and health steal stacking until the end of the encounter. Okay. So it's a unique that gives counter, ignores taunt, gives crit chance, gives bonus protection, more bonus protection, also gives crit damage, and gives health steal.
Yes.
And makes her unkillable.
For a turn, basically.
For a turn.
If you keep hitting her.
Yeah.
And you don't let her go. And you were... So a lot of people have been making the mistake...
Of attacking her.
All right. Here's the thing, right? And this is not like people have been watching videos, they've been reading Reddit, they've been talking to their guildmates. It's become quite apparent that on teams that are going to use her in arena, which believe me, there are going to be a lot, especially those people that have paid for her to 7 and have already took her to gear 12, of which there are, I think, 2 on my shard.
There's
already.
There's 2 in my shard. I fought one today.
And I haven't fought them yet, because it's the weekend and I barely get a chance to do arena, and they were much higher than where I was sitting in the 30s. They were like up in the top 10. So I have to, you know, hopefully this week I'll get a chance to battle them. But don't fracture her.
Nope.
Don't reduce her turn meter. Just ignore her. Let her sit there, because she does good damage, but doesn't do great damage until you start to hit her. So as long as you can avoid her, fight the rest of the team, pretend she's not even there, and she almost becomes not that great. But the second you start to hit this character, whether you're forced to or whether you choose to, which would be a terrible choice, it does become a character who simply will not die and simply will kill your team.
Yep.
And that they've already – and this is, I think – and I know you have strong feelings, so I'm going to give you the floor in a second to share your strong feelings on this character. But one of the things I noticed this week, and I think CG came out and posted, particularly when it was, you know, because people were a little concerned when this character dropped. They're like, hey, this seems kind of broken, right? I think somebody put her in at gear 9 against Treya and it took 23 hits in enrage before – before a gear 9 character would die, which is crazy to think about. And that screams broken, right? But they came out and said, nope, guys, this is exactly what we intended for this. And I believe them. This is exactly what they intended for this character. Now, whether or not, you know, there's certain uses of the character that maybe they'll start to be like, all right, maybe we didn't exactly intend that. But like, you know, just to have to come out and say that and it was I thought kind of crazy, right? Because they haven't really done a lot of that. They haven't really come out and been like, no, this is exactly what we want. Like, to come out and say that, like, they're just like, hey, everybody, like, we're not changing this character. This is who we wanted it to be. You've got to figure out a way around them if you're going to face, you know, Ness in arena. And that's what we're going to have to do, because there's a real way around her. It's just that through CG's own admission, the AI can't handle her. So you will probably never lose on offense. Ever.
No, with her. We'll never lose on offense with her. And I think that it's not that she is... All right, so she's overpowered. Like, I think the thing that annoys me most about this... Well, there's a couple things. So for starters, right, one of the big things, and this is not even from a gameplay mechanic, is she's crazy powerful. I don't think anyone will deny that she's not crazy powerful. No. Well, yep. Coleman would, just to argue with us, be an a-hole. But he's not here.
Well, he would be like, well, no, she's totally beatable, man. You just can't attack her. I got her to gear 12, though, and everyone else to gear 12, and everyone's at gear 12. Look at all my gear 12s. That's what he sounds like.
I had to make ambulance noises in the background while you were saying that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so you have this super powerful character in the game, and nobody knows who the fuck she is. Like, I'm sorry. Like, yes, if you've seen Solo, you know her. But, like,
right,
it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like making... How do I put this? It's like making somebody who has a bit part in a movie the most important part. Like...
Fulcrum.
Yeah, it's like making Fulcrum Ahsoka.
All right. Even that, I could kind of understand. Like, Fulcrum's cool. I think it's like Plo Koon. I think it's like a Plo
Koon. Yeah, like it's a bit character. So it's like
a bit Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, you could even go as far to say like Director Krennic. Like,
yeah.
Like a Director Krennic. Director Krennic's good, but Director Krennic is not like the most game changing character in the game that nobody really knows anything about. Because in this kind of game, most dominant characters should be the Palps, the Vaders, the Luke, the, you know, the Rey. The reason everyone loves Star Wars and plays these games, like, you're not like being like, oh, you know what, I so love that Nest character from Solo, I need to start playing all the Star Wars games because of her. That's just not happening. So that's a whole different issue. Now, her actual kit, so like, I fought them, and the only way to beat them is Nihilus. I mean, that's the only way. I just saved my Annihilate for her. Which is fine. But like you said, you're putting a character in that you can literally put on offense with the rest of your team and just hit auto and you're guaranteed a win. That is taking away from the integrity of the game. And
It's not ideal. It's not really what you would want,
like
but yeah.
even all right, so even let's take into account the person who put the gear nine gear nine nest into against Treya and got to like 22, 23 in rages. Now granted, everyone's like, well, she did nothing after that. Like she went, she did like no damage, da, 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 da. And I'm just like, that's not the point. The point is you shouldn't be able to survive certain encounters like that. You shouldn't be able, because at a certain point, somebody's going to figure out a way to manipulate that. One way or
Probably.
another. It's whether it's now or future characters, it's going to be manipulated. And you've already gone on record saying this is working as intended. So you can't go back on that. It's not something.
Well, they could if there's something they weren't. I guess it's what pe the problem is the problems that people are bringing up now, they intended. I guess if there were to be hypothetically new ones that they hadn't thought of, whether it be certain comps that just become too OP or certain raid comps that become too OP, they could revisit it. But yeah, for all intents and purposes, based on what we know right now, what people are complaining about, on the 3rd of June, they have no intentions of changing this character.
Yeah. And the thing is like, all right, so honestly, could this character solo the heroic AT?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because
It's
the
a good
thing that's
question.
really preventing her from doing crazy damage in the Sith raid is she gets all these debuffs on her that prevent her from countering attacking. Heroic AT doesn't have anything like that. So she's just going to be building up stacks of crit chance, counters, crit damage, to the point where by the time she gets to phase four, she's going to be one-shotting like everything with like some crazy ungodly crit damage percentage. So like that ki you that does not seem like it's working as intended. It's just, I don't know. I think it's just, it's the fact that it's easy exploitable that has me worried the most. Like right now, it's not an issue all that much because nobody's figured out a way to exploit it. And it's gonna happen. It's,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if somebody a couple months after Heroic AAT came out was able to come up with, like, hey, you know what I should try? I should try a Newt Gunray lead with two Jawas, and I could solo phase two. Like, that's just not something people realize or don't
Right.
ever even think about attempting until they do, and then they realize, oh, this works, and it works really
Right.
well, and then they nerf it. Now, when they already say that it's working as intended, they can't go back and change it and be like, well, it didn't have the result we wanted. So it's, I don't know. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with this character in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time before other people actually start to see it. Like, I don't know. It has me worried about, not worried about the gameplay, but worried about like, worried about Arena. Worried about, like, if you don't have her at 7 stars, then you're hurting your entire gameplay
Yeah.
by having her. And that is what I want to avoid.
Yeah. I think what I disliked the most was Arena recently, at least the last two teams that I had run in Arena had been full synergy teams, whether it be with Jedi Training Rey or now with Palp. And that felt right. Like I really enjoyed running full synergy teams, right? And I know that people like have still continued to run like the Rex and Wampa teams and stuff like that, and the thing about this new character is she's like total plug and play. Like you can put her on any team. Mm-hmm. And people are, right? And they'll find like the optimal comps and stuff like that. But she just gets like plugged in. And like that's fine, I guess. And I know that there's been like tons of times in this game where that's been the case, and there's always going to be plug and play arena teams and things like that where you're just using a bunch of the best characters and you put them all together and it still works because their kits are so good. That's fine, but like I was really enjoying kind of the switch to more synergy based arena, whether it was with Night Sisters or, you know, with Jedi Training Rey, or, you know, with the Palp teams or things like that. It was fun. And I thought that that was like what I always wanted, right, for arena, was a bunch of different people having to use a bunch of different factions to see what factions would work well together. And this is just another plug and play character that, like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure would be great with this group of, you know, four, soon to be five, maybe more scoundrels from the new Solo movie. But realistically, like, she's not being used in that way, right? She's going to be used in a team with Rex, or, you know, thrown onto somebody's Palp team as just another unkillable person, which is just doesn't seem quite as ideal to me. But it, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, it is what it is.
It's like you said, I don't also like it's an auto win on off. I mean, even on auto. Like, that's another issue that needs to be taken into account, too. Like,
yeah,
no team should ever be basically and still win on offense. You should always have that outside chance of, like, RNG hell. And with this, you won't really have that. No. So, it's, I don't know. We'll see. I am cautiously terrified of her.
I mean, I do think, like most characters that have come into this game and everyone's been thrown a hissy fit, that there is certainly some overreaction this week to this character. She is still totally beatable in arena.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that, like, you're never going to get a good payout ever again. Like, that's not the case. But, so I think it'll, you know, roll over at some point. People won't be as worried about it. But she is very good. And, like, certainly, if you were to want to buy one of these new characters, this is the one you're going to buy. And, it certainly is going to be the one that everyone's going to prioritize that hard node the second. Inevitably, that's where this character is put, in, you know, what, 3 months from now or whatever it is. But
I'm already stockpiling crystals for when she's available in shipments, and then I'm just gonna go to town.
Yeah. And by then, she won't be as good, but you know, she probably will be. I mean, just looking at the kit, I think this is a character that's probably gonna stick around for a long time, in some way, shape, or form.
Especially because she seems so viable in raids. Like the thing is. Yeah. The way her kit is built, any future raids have to have anti-counter mechanics built into the raid, no matter what. Like, that will have to be put in every raid from here on out. Otherwise, she will just dominate any future raid that comes out. And that's where it can start getting iffy, is if in the future it's more or less... Like, it's not as broken now, but it's going to be broken in the future.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's for a character I've never heard about until I saw the kit release. I was like, all right, sounds good. No idea who this is, but let's go to it. I don't know. Everyone's saying that she's viable at 3 stars in Arena, too, which is even scarier to think.
I'm sure. I'm sure she is. I don't know if I'm going to do that, because I'm kind of just saving up gear for Treya. I just took Sion to gear 11, and I have like 4 Zeta saves, so I can Zeta him and Zeta Treya, and I was just going to use Treya. But yeah, I'm sure she is viable, and I have a Zeta for her. There's Zeta on her unique, I guess, right? So
yeah. All right, so just to throw this out there, she's already above people like Asajj and, you know, Wedge Biggs and all that stuff for the top characters in Arena.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. She's on two of the top five teams on my shard right now, Gear 12. Yeah. One team, both Rex, both Rex. One's a Palp lead, one's a Rex lead.
Just trying to see on SWGOH on what team is actually, like, using her. And it doesn't look like I'm not seeing any right now. Of, like, the, because they have, like, the rank one squads.
Right.
And I don't think they have her on any of the teams.
But yeah, she's probably not that quite that pervasive, but
she's at 180 rank one teams right now. So just short of, like, Kylo, Tarkin, Sith Trooper, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Yep. Yes, we will.
So, we did also get one other thing, something rather small, that kind of leads to the fact that we think that there's going to be another Scoundrel. And that was the calendar event for June. And the yes. Login character is Lando Calrissian.
Lando!
Well, everyone assumes we're going to get the new Lando with the new from the new movie, and this, I think, kind of confirms it.
Childish like, Landino!
Yeah, like, Childish Landino! It's one of those things where it's the writing's on the wall for him to come out. I think they even, there was a leak of an image of, like, him in a the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes background or something like that. So he's going to be coming. It's a typical calendar with a note of one thing. Well, two things. One, there is no Jedi Rey event listed.
But there was the rumor.
There was the rumor. It's not listed. Now, I went back and looked to when they released, like, how they're going to be doing legendary events and stuff like that. For legendary events, they said after the second time, they will always be on the calendar. But for these special events like Luke and Rey, they said they will give at least a week's notice. So there still could be Rey this month. So don't hold, like, it's still possible. I don't think it is. I think it will come more like July 4th, right around there, beginning of July. Mm-hmm. Because, and the reason because they're not going to do it at the end of the month because that's when we have another event that is a first time. So we're getting the Mythic Yoda event. Like the legendary event, but the first time we're getting a Mythic levels of the Grandmaster Yoda event. Is starting yep. on the 23rd. So I don't think yep. we're going to be getting any of the other stuff. So before then, so I'd expect Rey next month sometime. And we have our typical four territory wars, two territory battles, all that fun jazz. Nothing really out of the ordinary here. Nothing too crazy.
Nope.
So.
Nope.
Nice
action-packed month.
Yeah. I guess that will actually probably do it for us tonight.
Yeah, I think when we'll wait for Coleman to talk about. I will. I'll link it on our Discord. There's a video I found earlier, and I want to make sure I can credit the right person. So I'm not going to go into too much detail because I won't be able to like give them the credit I should because I can't remember whose video it was. But there's a really interesting video. Again, I'll link it in our Discord later around Magma Trooper being able to kind of beat the current meta. I'm assuming it was Magma Trooper on a Palp team. I don't really remember, but I think it was. But basically the way that it worked is, and I thought this was just so cool, which is why I want to get, Coleman's input, cause he's actually has like a usable Magma Trooper, which I certainly do not. What was really cool about it is because of Magma Trooper's unique, which gives him 70% turn meter, the first time in the turn that he resists a debuff or gets a debuff, he gets 70% turn meter. So due to Sion and Nihilus's uniques, every time he goes, if he attacks Sion, he's going to get pain, and Nihilus will give him health down. So he gets the two. If he resists either, I guess it doesn't really matter as much. You can't resist pain, right? Or you can.
I don't think you can resist it.
So either way, he goes like over and over and over and over and over again, and he kills Sion. No one else moves. It's like pretty crazy to watch. Like he just basically goes on repeat until he kills Sion, and then like you can get after the rest of the characters. Now you have to be careful about a couple things, mainly Treya's stacking offense due to the damage that you give Sion. So you have to be careful because she can then like one shot somebody. And Nihilus, I think, gets turn meter when you hit Sion. So there's like certain ways you have to like set this up. You can't just like jump right into it. But it was a really interesting mechanic in like a way. I love finding those like infinite loops, the ways to just kind of build in the game where a character just continuously goes. So anyway, I'll link the video. It's a pretty cool thing. It's certainly not anything crazy game changing, but it's like a fun little thing you can probably do to screw around in Arena if you're having trouble with Sion, or the Sith Triumphant once more people have Treya. But yeah, other than that, man, I don't have too much else.
Yeah, neither do I. Yeah, I think we're just kind of waiting to see the fallout from Nest and then waiting for the new character. Like, that's really, we haven't had a territory battle in a while, so it's nothing really to go over there. Territory wars, you know, typical as always. Yep. Other than that, I don't think we really have anything. So until next time, you guys all have yourself a wonderful night.